So I was reading a story in the news this past week, and it was about this woman who she bought a dress. She bought a couple dresses, actually, and she put them up in her closet and didn't wear them for a few weeks. And one day, she wore one of those dresses to work. And throughout the day, as day kind of went on, she started noticing the people that she would be talking to normally, you know, by the water cooler and the break room or at different people's desks or offices, they were kind of like at a distance. Like they were being really distant. They were kind of like putting space between her and them, or they were avoiding her altogether. And that only continued throughout the day. And so she was wondering to herself, like, hey, what did I say something here? Like, what did I do? What's going on that all of a sudden, like, these people that I interact with are not wanting to interact with me a lot? And it just got worse as the day went on. And eventually, she didn't really think anything of it most of the day. And every now and then, she would, like, catch a whiff of this, like, smell, this pungent odor. But then she would kind of, she just go to a different area and figured that was okay. Well, around the end of the day, she felt like a string, a thread, like brushing up against her leg. And so she went to kind of pull it out, you know, like you do when you've got a thread loose on a shirt or a dress. She went to pull it out and it wasn't coming out. Like she was like, man, I can't get this. And she looks down and it wasn't a string after all. It was a tail. Because apparently, a dead rat had been sewn into the dress. This was the picture she took. There you can see like a hand right there, the rat's hand, obviously. It was sewn into this dress, not by her, obviously. That would be weird. But somehow a dead rat had gotten sewn into this dress. This happened like a week or two ago. And so... That really answered a lot of questions about why people were avoiding her, because she bought the dress weeks ago and there was a dead rat in it the whole time. She had kind of, as she wore it and it was kind of in her house, she'd kind of gotten used to the smell a little bit and only would kind of notice it every now and then. But people around her obviously were nowhere to be found because it smelled like dead rat, right? So there was literally a dead rat in her dress. So why am I telling you guys that? Because this is a great example of how something that was kind of on her presence, that was like in her dress, a part of her that she didn't really recognize, and she had kind of gotten used to it a little bit. It pushed other people away, and And it gave off an odor that was not attractive and not representative of who she was. She wasn't a naturally like bad smelling person. Like some people, I've heard this. I have no sense of smell. I've never had one. But people have told me before, like there's just some people that always kind of have a weird smell to them, right? People that haven't learned about, you know, putting on deodorant or something like that, they always have a weird smell. Well, this woman was not like that. Was not a bad-smelling person, but because of that dress and what was inside of it, it represented her in a way that wasn't accurate. And so I think coincides really well with what we've been talking about how to use your words. And today we're going to talk about how maybe what's in us might cause us to speak in a way that's not representative of who we want to be, who we are in Christ, or representative of who Christ is. And so, we talked about words are powerful. We talked about building each other up. You know, what I want to talk about today is there really such a thing as a bad word? Like, how do we know that? How do we know if there is a bad word? Is there, like, some words that are okay and some words that aren't and some words that are okay if you just say the first letter or on and on and on? Like, how do we know what's good and what's bad? Well, we're going to go back to this book to tell us that. And so we've got a couple references. We've got Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Ephesians 5:4 says, "Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And so what we see in Scripture, what this book tells us, is that there is such thing as a bad word. There is such a thing as perverted language and cussing and foolish talk and coarse joking. And so we're going to group kind of all that together this morning as we talk about it, and we're going to call it unwholesome talk, just like Ephesians 4:29 said. We're going to, all those things, we're just going to lump into one category that says unwholesome talk. All right, so let's talk about that stuff. I want to answer three questions this morning. What makes a word or phrase unwholesome? Why is unwholesome talk such a challenge for Christ followers? And what can we do about unwholesome talk? So what makes a word or phrase unwholesome? Man, what makes a word count as a bad word? What makes a word qualify as something that should be said versus what should not be said? What is unwholesome speech and what's unwholesome talk? Well, again, we're going to go back to Scripture, all right? And we're going to talk about three things that would make something unwholesome. And if it violates any of these three things, then it's unwholesome. The first one is this. It offers no benefit to the listener. All right, and so we'll go back to Ephesians 4:29. At first, we just had the first part, but this is the whole verse. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So if talk is unwholesome, that means it offers no benefit to the listener. Now, here's an important distinction. That doesn't mean that every word you ever say has to be something where you're building somebody up, right, where you're encouraging somebody. Right? Think about it this way. Your teacher, when you're at school and she's teaching you algebra, she doesn't like spend that algebra time saying an x, 2x minus 5 equals you are just the best. You are going to be something someday. 5. Right? She doesn't do that. She doesn't like just always like compliment you. All right? So that's not necessarily what we're talking about. When you watch NFL football and Troy Aikman's commentating, he's not like, all right, first down for the Cowboys here. Are they going to go back to Zeke? I'd like to give a quick shout out to my friend Tanner Mines. He's a really great kid, and on and on and on. No, he doesn't do that, right? Because that's not his job. That's not what he's trying to accomplish in that moment. He's just giving you information and commentary so that you can watch the game in a way that helps you understand more, which is a benefit, right? And so when we say this, don't think like, man, well, I can only say like just the nicest things in the world and just be nice all the time. That's not what that means. Jesus himself said really hard things to people sometimes. If you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he says some really hard things, but truthful things that people need to hear. He calls the Pharisees like wolves, and he calls them empty tombs. He says, you look nice on the outside, but on the inside, there's not a lot there. Right? And so that's helpful for them. That's beneficial for them because he's speaking the truth in love. This doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to be nice, but the words you say should offer some kind of benefit. They should be beneficial to the listener. All right? So that's one check. The second one is it hurts your example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, which is all of you. You're all young. And sometimes people might have a tendency to write you off, right? To say, oh, they're just in junior high. Don't let them do that. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young. But be an example to all believers in what you say. And so if the way you talk is not a good example, good chance that it's unwholesome talk. If you're not providing an example to all the believers, all the other people around you that would say they follow Christ, the guys or girls in your small group, if you're not giving them a good example, it's probably unwholesome. All right? The third one is, it is displeasing to God. Psalm 19:14, and then other psalms says this as well. Just this prayer that says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so if it's displeasing to God, it's probably unwholesome. If remember, God's the one that set the rules, right? And he said, hey, this is the way you should talk. This is the way you should not talk. Your words should be beneficial to people. Your words should be an example. Your words should honor me. They should reflect who I am and how I love people. You should be willing to speak truth. All those things. And so if it's displeasing to God, it's probably unwholesome. So if, as you're thinking about words that you say, you need to evaluate them according to those three things. You know, is it a good example? Is it beneficial to the listener? Is it pleasing to God? So that's how we can know, like, hey, what is unwholesome talk? The next question is, why is unwholesome talk such a challenge for Christ followers? Why is it such a challenge for us? And I told my guys I would say this. Using our words in general is one of the things our small group really struggles with a lot, right? It's just easy to let that stuff seep in. That is one of our biggest challenges. And we recognized that last week in small group. We talked about that. And I told them I would say that to all you guys. That's something we want to grow in, and we recognize a need for us to grow in. So why is it such a challenge? Let's go to Luke 6:45. It says this, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Here's what that's saying. The source that you're speaking from, what comes out is what's going to be in that source. For example, if all of a sudden you go and you turn on your tap water at your house and it's brown, chances are the water source is polluted, right? But if you turn it on and it's clear and clean and crisp, chances are that the water source is good. Well, the same thing. And this is another way to say it. What goes in comes back out. And here's the tough part is unwholesome talk is everywhere. And I mean everywhere. It's everywhere around us. We've got some data here, some information about entertainment and the words that are in entertainment. So get this, the F word only appeared one time on primetime broadcast TV in 1998. And in 2007, which was 9 years ago, it appeared 1,147 times on 184 different programs. In total, in 2007, nearly 11,000 expletives, bad words, were aired during primetime on broadcast TV in 2007. It's in movies. I saw the Ninja Turtles 2 movie this past summer because as a kid, I loved the Ninja Turtles. It was awesome. It was the cheesiest cartoon ever when I was a kid. And I went to go see Ninja Turtles, and there were cuss words in Ninja Turtles. And I'm like, why? You don't need that because you've got four turtles kicking butt. What do you need cuss words for? But it's everywhere. Like, that's a kid's movie, right? And there's bad words everywhere. There's unwholesome talk everywhere, really cutting people down, saying things that would not be pleasing to God, that wouldn't be a good example to other believers if you said them, that offer no benefit. Those words offer no benefit to anyone who's watching that movie. And so it's everywhere. So that's the tough part for us. If what goes in comes back out, and that's tough because unwholesome talk is literally everywhere. That's the challenge. And so what do we do? Like, what can we do about unwholesome talk? Well, the first thing is we can keep the bad stuff out as much as possible. So Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about those things. The things that are honorable, what's right, what's pure, what's good, praiseworthy and admirable. Think about those things. Don't dwell on the unwholesome talk because the more you dwell on it, the more that's going to come back out, right? Keep as much as you can. Keep the bad stuff out, right? Like, no one's a martyr because they're not listening to, like, the newest track that has all kinds of bad words in it, right? And demeaning talk about women or anything else that it might be in there. No one's a martyr for doing that, right? Second thing is keep the main thing the main thing. Go back to this verse that says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The main thing is Christ. It's God, right? So let's keep that the main thing. Like, let's make that be what our lives are about. And so we trash talk that is not pleasing to the Lord. We get rid of talk that is not pleasing to God. And so let me be really honest with you right here. Here's where it gets really tricky. Is when we do that, there's a tendency sometimes that the reasons we do stuff like that, the reasons we would not listen to a certain kind of music or watch a certain kind of thing, right? The reason we might do that is because we think we're better than people. And a lot of times that might be what the world thinks too. And so that's where we have to be so careful, because that's not the reason that we wouldn't, that was not in that list at all. Not once during this whole thing have we talked about, hey, you make sure that you're not watching stuff you shouldn't watch that has unwholesome talk because you're better than the people that are. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what God's saying in his word. But the reason is that what goes in comes back out, right? At the end of the day, when we're talking about anything like this, we have to remember, we have to operate out of the truth that God is good, right? He's good. And we see it over and over again in Scripture where God's good and he's loving. He sent his son to die for us. We have to remember, we have to operate out of the fact that he's good. Right? And so we don't not do that because we're better. We don't do that because God's going to be happy with us if we don't listen to that new song, right? And we don't watch that movie. That's not why we do it, because we don't do it because God's going to be happy with us. We do it because he already is, right? The same reason we do anything. Because God's good and he loves us and he died for us and we want more of him, right? And so here's why that's really tricky. It's because if you come at it from a place of, hey, we're better than those people, so we're not going to listen to the same music they do, and that's not attractive to anybody, then you got another dead rat in your dress, and it's called pride and self-righteousness. And that'll push people off just as much as unwholesome talk. Talking like you are better than people, that is unwholesome talk. That offers no benefit to anybody else. It's displeasing to the Lord, and it's not a good example. Right? Because, hey, my sin and your sin were what kept Jesus on that cross. Just like other people's sin that we would share the gospel with. Right? And so here's the image I think would be great to have. How many of you guys know what an embassy is? So here's what an embassy is. It is a building or an area that has a building on it in a foreign country that represents your home country. So for example, we're all Americans, we're from the U.S., and so if we go to another country, we can go to the U.S. Embassy, all right? And no matter what that country looks like, and we got a couple pictures of some embassies here, that's the one in Istanbul, no matter what that country looks like, and you'll see that's again the one in Istanbul, the next one I think is from Burundi, right? So like this kind of barren landscape, not a lot there, not a lot of buildings, but no matter where you're at, you can go to this embassy and be greeted with like the American, our American culture, our beliefs, our values. You can go there no matter what maybe the beliefs are of that country, what the value is, what the government is there, whether there's a king there, whether there's a democracy, whether it's a republic, on and on and on. You can go to that embassy, and that is American soil. It represents America. And in the embassy, there's an ambassador who is the American ambassador to that country. And so what we can do, even in places like this, that seem like really torn down, really destroyed, there's still embassies like this. And so here's why I want us to have that image. So where we're at on earth, it's a temporary home. For those of us that have believed in Christ, man, our dwelling place eternally is with heaven in God in relationship with him in a perfect way. And we represent that, right? Like we represent that kingdom, not the American one, not whatever other country. We represent that kingdom. We're ambassadors for Christ. Paul will use that terminology. We represent him. And so in that same way, when people come on our soil, right, when people are around us, they should get a taste of that kingdom. They should get a, an understanding of, hey, this is what it looks like to follow Christ. And that should be a good thing. Because for those of us that do follow Christ, that have put our faith in him, we know it is a good thing. That's where the abundant life is found. Earlier, I said God makes the rules. His rules are good, for our benefit, that we might have joy and satisfaction truly. Not just the kind of like happiness that might come from somebody laughing at a coarse joke or a bad joke that you made. And so, man, what if when people are around you, they got a taste of like what the kingdom of God looks like, what it looks like to follow Jesus? They felt built up and encouraged, and they said, man, that person's different. Something is different about them. And so that's what we can be to people, is ambassadors for Christ. Like a taste of who Jesus is in the midst of a world that's broken, right? And so none of this stuff that we're talking about is because we're better than people or we want God to be happy with us, but it's so that, hey, he's a good God, and we want to please him. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer, and then we can really represent that to people. So, man, that's the challenge. Man, you guys need to talk about that as your small group. And you need to keep calling each other out when you're not, right? Like if you're committed to, you're going to make a decision. Hey, are we committed to being in this together? Are we committed to walking in this way? And if so, man, when there's other guys or girls in that small group that are not doing that, you should tell them. Hey, the way you're talking, man, that's unwholesome talk. That I don't think that's pleasing to the Lord. I don't think that's a good representation of who Christ is. We've had guys in our group that have done that for each other, and it's been awesome. And so I've had some of my co-leaders have done that for me at times. And so we have that opportunity. And so let's be ambassadors in the way that we talk, in the way that we speak. What goes in comes back out. Lord, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you even give us an opportunity to speak. Lord, I pray that same prayer that the guy who wrote that psalm did, Lord, that says, may the words of my mouth, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, God. You are our rock and our redeemer. And Lord, I pray that would be all the motivation we need, Lord, to honor you with our words. God, may we be an ambassador for you so that when people are around us, they see how good it is to follow you and the kind of life that's found there. God, we ask these things knowing that it's by your grace alone. We can't do it on our own, God. We ask you to help us, Lord. May your spirit be alive in us and change our hearts to do that. God, it's for your glory, and it's for our good. And we ask this in your name. Amen.